This episode of At the Root of It was recorded and broadcast live on Wednesday, December 9th, 2009. For a calendar of our live programming, you can see our website at www.heritageradionetwork.com.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon at the Heritage Radio Network and At the Root of It. Wednesday, December 9th, broadcasting out of Roberta's Restaurant in Brooklyn on a rainy day today. And we'll start today's show with the weekend wine recap and in latest news that Italian DOC's Amarone del Valpolicella and Recioto della Valpolicella have been promoted to status of DOCG, the highest quality level allowed by both Italy and the EU. This move has been long in coming to be a step to define Amarone's status to its most important export market, the US, and producers have been awaiting the promotion for many years. In today's crop report, we're focusing on Piemonte's 2009 vintage, which has turned out to be a good one, though early speculation was that it was going to be an ultra-ripe, jammy vintage due to extremely hot weather in late summer. Ample water reserves and careful viticulture techniques ensure that many producers were able to make balanced and attractive wines with fresh acidity and ripe tannins in a traditional Piemontese fashion. Winemakers are reporting a better quality of Dolcetto and Barbera than last year, and are in agreement that it was a hot and ripe vintage, which was saved by conditions in the winter and spring that helped the vineyards survive the heat. And lastly, in the market feed, Decanter reports that after 15 years of lobbying, New Zealand's sweet wines have been cleared for sale in the UK after reaching an agreement with the EU. Legislation has been issued by the New Zealand Food Safety Authority, which effectively relaxes rules in the EU countries importing wines with a natural percentual alcohol level of more than 15%, which applies to almost all of New Zealand's sweet wines. After the short break, we will be back with my guest this evening, Stanley Sass-Henriot of Champagne-Henriot, all the way from here from France. So very excited to have him in the studio this evening. And before we break, also a sponsor thank you to Fairway Market, now taking catering holiday orders and featuring a Hanukkah package.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
New. Welcome back to At the Root of It with Aaron Fitzpatrick. And a special welcome to my guest this afternoon, Stanley Sass-Henriot.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bienvenue en New York.
Merci. And thank you for welcoming me here in Brooklyn.
Yes, I'm glad you found your way out.
It was a nice trip from New York, not too far away.
Yeah. So what brings you here this week?
Well, it's... the traditional, I would say, tour in December to meet our best customers, wine connoisseurs, wine lovers that would like to have more information about the house, the family, how we produce our wines, our champagne, and try to have I would say a taste of what is the history of the family and the vision we have. Mm-hmm. So it's always extremely pleasant for me to meet those collectioneur, amateur, and also all the people that trust the house and like to taste our wines.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed in the past several years living here in Manhattan that the Champagne Henriot has gained quite a momentum, quite more popular than I've ever noticed before. I'm not sure if that's my perception or actually the case.
I think you are right. And I would like just to give some light to this observation. Mm-hmm. The family Henriot has always been very focused at producing wines of, I think, great quality. And all the energy of the family since 200 years, as I am the seventh generation in charge of Champagne Henriot, all the energy of the family was focused on selecting the right parcels, selecting the right grapes, taking, you know, the time to making the right fermentation in the right tanks. And progressively, we have been seen as, I would say, sort of reference in Champagne, but we have also been very bad at selling our products outside France. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, the family decided that as the world has changed and globalized, it was a good idea to show our products in every place, every market where you could find some wine lovers, wine connoisseur. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Champagne Henriot is, we are showing our products more actively in New York for a few years now.
Yeah, and that was under your, you came on board as 2004, is that correct?
I came on board in 1999.
Okay.
My first years were very silent for me, just to learn many things from you know, the vineyards, the winery, tasting a lot, listening a lot to, of course, my father and to the technical team. And progressively, I took over effectively since 2004. It was more official. Mm-hmm. So this is a great family story where, you know, generation after generation, we transmit the know-how that has been accumulated since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we really think that we have a responsibility to continue this story, to cultivate our independency, and we think this is a great asset. We take care of our vines, of our wine. We make the decision we like. We make the decision we think are the best for our wines, with the style of the wine we like, and this chance is, I think, extraordinaire, mm-hmm. outstanding. We are free. And I think it's when you look at how the wine industry has changed its last 20 years, and the influence of big financial groups that are extremely eager to develop the margin and the turnover, I think this chance we have must be kept in the family. This is an asset for the future.
Mm-hmm.
We keep the personality of our wines generation after generation. And I will give you an example, which is very interesting for me. I can remember in 1993, the family decided to make a vintage. And so we make the decision to bottle. We have tasted the 93 several times with my father and, of course, the technical team. And year after year, it appears to us that the quality of this 93 was not exactly what we were expecting.
Hmm.
And we decided to declassify 93. So we have never sold 93. So financially, the decision was, I think, very difficult.
Sure.
But it's the way the family
thinks. Wanted to maintain the identity and the quality of the brand.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's you've been producing for many generations that same consistent quality. It's just in the past I'd say 5 years, you've really put more effort into expanding it on a global level.
Yes, I think we believe in very simple things. The family believes that everything starts by the choice of the best terroir. And in Champagne, we know that we need to supply in Côte des Blancs and Montagne de Reims. You know that Montagne de Reims is very famous for its Grand Cru of Pinot Noir, mm-hmm. and Côte des Blancs famous for its Grand Cru of Chardonnay. So we have focused our attention on developing our supply here, and our supply relies on two legs. One is 35 hectares of our own exploitation, and the rest comes from growers and family that we are in relation for probably 100 years. So we are very close to the world of growers, and we share with them the same passion of perfection, of attention to the land, of respect to the land, the way we prune. All of this is, I would say, makes the family Henriot and Champagne Henriot in the middle of the two worlds. In between of the growers, mm-hmm. and I would say the
major big, houses.
Yeah, the major houses. Mm-hmm.
Is there, so there's not necessarily a category for that so much?
No, but I think it's interesting. On one side, you have the growers, and on the other side, the négociants. And I think both of these categories are playing an important role in the ecosystem of mm-hmm. Champagne. Mm-hmm. The link to the soil, the link to the vines, to the tradition, is probably very well spread with the growers. And there is a trend now in many markets that growers, récoltant manipulant, are being very popular. I think there is a need for many consumer and wine lover to go back to what is essential. On the other hand, you have the big houses, and they have been doing a fantastic job to create style that they were their own style, and making sure that they can reproduce year after year the same style of wine. Mm-hmm. On one side, the grower, specific terroir. On the other side, big houses with a style.
Yeah.
And those two categories are living together very well. And I think this is one of the best example of in France of good friendship and common interest of these two categories of operators on the market.
Interesting. So you don't find them as much in conflict as in actual kind of good momentum together.
I think they contribute to the fame of Champagne. Mm-hmm. They develop the diversity of the wine, and they talk about a dimension that some houses can't talk. It's terroir. I am a small grower in Ménil. Look what Ménil can produce is interesting. I am a grower in, let's say, Verzenay, and I make a Blanc de Noir. And so this feeds the diversity and the tradition. And I think it is very important for the future of the Appellation Champagne.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, given the current recession and whatnot, I know Champagne in particular, especially during this season, has always been the first bottle that we all grab or reach for in celebration. Has both the large houses and the in between and the grower producers been largely affected by this?
I think the whole year 2009 has been difficult because the economic situation has made people shy. Mm-hmm. And I think the first reaction of every distributor or retailer or restaurant was very wise. And they said, we don't know how things will happen tomorrow, so I prefer to sell my inventory before I reorder. So what we have seen since January this year is that the inventory everywhere in the world has diminished. And obviously the consequence of this was a diminution of the order to Champagne. So it's very difficult to assess if consumption of Champagne has diminished. My mm-hmm. feeling is that it has not diminished at all. But I think consumers are more eager
to develop a direct relation with the producer. And I really think that they want not only to buy a good bottle of wine or champagne, but they want to participate to a history. They want to participate to the culture, the tradition of a family. And I think that's why the future for family-owned winery like Champagne-Henriot is bright. I never forget that wine is produced from the land to the final bottle by men that are responsible for all the cycle. And they sell this to other men for, I would say, to share good moments with friends. And so it's I'm not making any marketing with Henriot. I'm just I like to spend time to explain to wine lovers how we make our wine, and to share my passion for Gaët Terroir.
I think that's actually happening across the board with still wines as well. More attention as people's become more confident in their likes and their dislikes, and more knowledgeable about wine and champagne, they are becoming more in tune with what goes into the whole process and where it's coming from and what they're, you know, putting in their bodies and whatnot, which all go hand in hand with the respect for the source.
Yes, I think there is a, I'm very impressed by the pace at which here in the United States, wine lovers are getting more and more demanding, knowledgeable, interested truly about the techniques, about the terroir, about the complexity of this, I would say, very French heritage. And it makes our job extremely sympathetic. When I'm here, I always say it's never an effort and I don't feel that I work. I'm just sharing our the passion of the family for viticulture, for you know, blending base wine in February, in March, using the treasure that we have accumulated this last year from the different crops, and just transmitting this, I think, is enough to answer to the demand of a lot of passionate people here about wine. So I feel extremely confident that America will continue to be one of the key markets for wine connoisseur in the coming decades.
Oh, I like to hear that. We are going to take a short break and be back to speak a little bit more about this and Henriot and its typique style.
Looking for my place on assembly lines, fake prizes rising out of the bomb holes. Skeleton boys hyped up in purple, smoke rings blow from across the discos. Banknotes burn like broken equipment, looking for shelter, readjust your positions. Thought control, those written confessions, two dimensions, dumb your head down. Duck, don't look now, company missiles, power is raunchy, rent a cops are watching. Make your dreams out of paper mache, cliche wasted, hate taste tested.
Yes,
not moving this way, I'm doing this thing.
Please enjoy.
Hell yes, now turning it on, I'm working my legs. Hell yes, now calling you out, I'm switching my plates.
Please enjoy.
Hell yes, now I'm cleaning the floor, my beat is correct. Stretch to the limit, attention span, snap back the track, collapsing the laugh tracks, noise response, applause and hand claps, floodgates open to the sound.
Welcome back to At the Root of It. This is Aaron Fitzpatrick with my guest this afternoon, Stanislas Henriot. And for our listeners, thank you so much for joining. And please call in with any questions and comments for Stanislas at 718-497-2128. So we closed up that previous segment, which is a bit speak about the return to terroir and the Americans' interest in understanding the source of their wines, both champagne and still, and wanted to speak a bit about the actual, how you would describe the house style.
It's a very good question, and
difficile.
difficile, but it's a question that we have to solve each year when we prepare the plan. In February, in March, it's the time for my father, myself, and the team to taste the full palette of base wine and try to keep in mind all the different aromas and characteristics of this color palette that we have. And we start with those, let's say, 25, 30 different wines, and we have to compose, as an example, for our most sold wine, which is the Brut Souverain, we have to compose a blend that will each year continue the initial style that my grandfather started in the beginning of the 19th century. I would say that the style of Henriot, there is a key word that we are trying to keep in our minds when we make the blend is elegance.
Yeah.
And it has conducted us to select a specific terroir, either for the Pinot Noir and the Chardonnay. We like cold climates in the Montagne de Reims. I'm thinking about villages like Verzy, Verzenay, Mailly, Trépaille. The cold climates will produce in this terroir very, I would say, peppery, acidic, energetic Pinot Noir. Those Pinot Noir, when they will age, will develop very refined aromas. And this is exactly what we wish. We want to have complexity. If I take the example of the Pinot Noir, we don't need to have a very tannic structure or a lot of big red fruits, but we prefer to be in the spectrum of small red fruits, probably with the aging aromas like leather, like chestnuts. And if we talk about Chardonnay, we love Côte des Blancs. And then we will use different places. Let's take the example of Le Ménil. Le Ménil is very mineral. And when you taste Ménil after a few years, you feel that it's very pierre à feu, smoky, like the taste of chalk. And we know that we have to use Ménil in small proportion, and we will add some Chouilly. Chouilly is the north part of Côte des Blancs, and the wine produced by Chouilly is extremely delicate. It's flowery. It's a combination of white fruits, flower, and when it ages, it gives some aromas very interesting of brioche, of grilled and toast almonds. All of this together will contribute to the style of Henriot. So it's difficult to say with very precise words, but elegance, minerality, freshness, delicacy are the key words we keep in mind when we make the blend.
Sure.
The art of blending has been transmitted from father to son for seventh generation. And I must say, we have a great here know-how. It's the treasure of the family is how the different village will interact when you blend them. We know that when the year is very hot, we will prefer to choose some parcels that are potentially exposed to winds. In Chouilly, we will select specific places like Plumeco. Plumeco means that there is a lot of wind. And we play with all these dimensions. And I have forgot to say to you that, of course, we are using reserve wines from the previous years, which help us to control our style.
So do you feel like that's kind of a distinction, the way and the lengths that you go to source these different fruits to make those perfect blends that distinguishes you from others as well?
Oh, yes. I think if we take the example of our Blanc de Blanc, I would say Henriot now is very well known for the exceptional reputation of its Blanc de Blanc. Our idea with this wine is really to express the very essence of Côtes des Blancs, with a great majority of Grand Cru and finesse, with minerality, freshness, flowers, white fruits. Recently, we said, I said to a wine lover in Paris, why don't you take a bouquet de fleurs blanches and a few white fruits on a table? And I was speaking about a bottle of Blanc de Blanc. So yes, I think very, very clearly, wine lovers distinguish Henriot with these words.
Well, that's lovely. That's a nice thing to be able to bring to somebody's house and have it serve two purposes. Well, I have to go back to speak a bit about the climate. As we were talking about the economy, I know that the champagne industry, or at least the media, has made us believe that the champagne industry was heavily hit, and the climate was described as, you know, feast to famine in some places. And I recall not too long ago, producers warned of not being able to fulfill the demand that was coming from the U.S. and abroad, and lobbied to extend geographical extensions in the region. So where are we now as rules have become in place to reduce yields in 2009?
I think it was a very wise decision to control and to reduce the quantities of grape available. Avoid some that, you know, many consumers around the world see some erratic prices from one year to another.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne needs a lot of attention. It's a very delicate product. It's the process from the vine to the final bottle is very long and extremely costly. And I think one of the reasons to limit the volume was to avoid that some houses extremely tense because of the weight of the debt would be forced to sell under their cost of production in many markets, which would be not understandable for many consumers. So I think this decision was very wise.
Mm-hmm.
You refer to the revision of the area of Appellation Champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that a couple of years ago, many Champenois were concerned that we will not be able to deliver some bottles for everybody in the world because the growth was very strong. And now, after year 2009, it seems that things has changed. But I think regarding the revision of the area of Appellation Champagne, we have to anticipate for the long run. And what the INAO is doing, I think, is very good. We, Champenois, together, we ask the question to the INAO, where do you think, honestly, with objective criteria, where should we be able to plant some new vines if need be.
Mm-hmm.
The file is not closed yet, but I would like to add that when you look at the past, especially at the beginning of the 20th century, Champagne region was 70,000 hectares, and now it's only 33,000.
Wow.
So I really think that this file has been very well conducted by the INAO and by all the Champenois families, growers and houses. And we are looking for the mid to long term. So yes, 2009, we see a certain decrease in the sales, but it does not change our way of thinking for the long run.
And how is the sentiment amongst others in the region as well? Is it as positive as yours?
I think it's globally very positive. Of course, you can imagine that it will certainly produce some, I would say, local pressure. When just imagine if you have a few hectares of corn, and that these hectares could be reclassified in the midterm as land for vines, the value of your land will will be multiplied by 20 or 50 in a minute. So it's very important that the file is being conducted and analyzed only by an independent organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the Institut National des Appellations d'Origine, INAO, is really the right administration to guarantee that the process is totally independent.
Hmm. Good. That's actually better than I thought it would be. And then for 2010, what do you have in store?
Well, we have a few project for next year. The first thing is that we will release one of my favorite vintage. It's the vintage 1996. And it will be under the cuvée, our famous and for the family, the famous Cuvée des Enchanteleurs. It's the top cuvée of the family. And 96 is, for me, the perfect example of what could be a great champagne. 13-year-old already, still fresh as a baby,
mm-hmm.
with a fantastic complexity that make us think to great white Burgundy. It will be a very important moment for us. We've been waiting for this now for 13 years. And I'm sure that all the wine lovers here, and especially champagne lovers that are already aware that 96 was a great year, will be very interested to taste it.
I want advance notice of that before it's all sold out. What's the meaning behind Enchanteleur?
Enchanteleur is an old Champenois name. That comes from the two wood beams on which we were used to make piles of cask. And those two beams are called the chantier, and you can still see them in Burgundy. And at Champagne-Henriot in the past, of course, all the wines were fermented into small casks, and all the, I would say, the cellar masters in charge of doing that were called the enchanteleurs, because they used to put in all the casks on the chantier.
Mm.
And my grandfathers and grandfather used to tell them, if you want to make your own blend, feel free to use a few of these casks to make your own champagne. And
that's exactly what you did.
Exactly. But the story was very amazing, because year after year, our grandfather and great-grandfather used to notice that the blend of the Enchanteleur was even better than ours. So we found it was a good name to
interesting
to think about our tradition.
Good. And then lastly, before we wrap up, there's also news that you're doing a packaging launch.
Yes, and the second news for next year is that we have decided to modify slightly the labels of Champagne-Henriot. Not a big revolution, mm-hmm. just
tweaks.
Yes, we would like to express the values of the family. So it's very serious, but I think it talks of by itself about quality, signature, commitment of a brand name, which is a family name.
Mm-hmm.
It's very elegant, and it's absolutely not bling bling. I don't know if you understand.
Oh, yes, we do, yeah.
So I really, you know, I hope that wine lovers will appreciate this new graphical environment, but it's very...
It has a meaning and a purpose for you, especially.
It's, for me, it's really talking about who we are,
mm-hmm.
With... not showing off anything. In the values of the family, we have a sort of conviction that you have never succeed, and that you have always to put you at risk and to improve and to open your eyes and taste many things and take the necessary risk to be always in movement.
Mm-hmm. It's the way that we all should think.
So on dit dans la famille, we say in the family, le but est dans le chemin.
Ah bon. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We have to wrap up, but it was lovely to converse with you and so nice to have you in from France.
Thank you very much. Et santé.
A santé, yes. Until the next time. And thank you to our producer and engineer today, Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener, and to our sponsor, Fairway Market. I'll see you next week.